Hello, everyone, and welcome to what me and my friend Caleb Stern are going to call the Everywhere Hockey Show. We're going to label it. There he is. We're going to call this first one just Puck Drop Across the Globe because we want this to be very international. And because this is our first episode and me and Caleb have really no online presence, we're just going to give a brief introduction of ourselves. So, Caleb, start it off. Let's start us off.
So, yeah, my as my friend Chase told me told you guys, I'm Caleb. You know what? We went to the same high school growing up in Camden, Maine, and we play on the same hockey team. He was on the first line, I was on the last, but we were still great friends. And that he kind of introduced me to the whole hockey world, so I have him to thank.
Yeah, so. Basically, it started out, I don't know, in middle school. I was just, me and Caleb had been friends for a while, and I was like, Caleb, you should play hockey. And basically, I got him into hockey, and we only played hockey together for 1 year, our senior year, but it was probably the most fun I've ever had playing hockey. And we played together on our travel team and high school team, and that was just a blast.
Yeah, it was good. I was kind of like the ugly duckling on the ice, though. So if anybody out there doesn't really know how to play hockey, but they have fun doing it, I'm in the same boat.
I wouldn't call you that, Caleb, but...
Well, that's really kind of
you. You got so much better. It was fun. Basically, I'm in Japan now, so because I've always loved international hockey, I decided to move to Japan, and I joined a team here at one of the universities, while Caleb is now in Los Angeles, both for Maine, both in very two different places of the globe now. But we've wanted to do this for a while. And, yeah, so...
Yeah, we're getting it done right now.
And the overall theme of the show, just basically, we want it to be something different and international because I've always just loved hockey all over the world, and there's hockey in so many countries that people don't really think to know about. So that's kind of why we started the show. There's not many international podcasts. Not many people talk about like what's going on in Germany or Switzerland and countries like that. You only have like NHL podcasts, and they all talk about the same thing, the same players that's going through the same things. And we want to touch up on those points too, but we want this to be just a part of it, not the entire show. And we're both extremely busy in college, and I'm on a hockey team right now, which is basically it's 7 days a week. And so we're going to try to get one of these out once a month for you guys. And just, we want the audience to be as engaged as possible. So it's probably going to start out really small. So give us all your advice, everything you want to see, everything that you think was awful, everything that you liked, and we will definitely see that, and we will definitely adjust accordingly the next month. And who knows? Well, obviously, our goal is to get it out maybe once a week, but we'll see how it goes and how easy it all.
Yeah, our first trial is going to be once a month, so let us know what you think, and we'll try to make it the best it can be.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that, why don't we just hop right in, Caleb, in our first segment, and we're just going to talk about basically those NHL stories and get those out of the way. So it's been a long summer, and we're going to try to get this out. Just the most recent story that just kind of caught my eye, was Nate Schmidt of the Vegas Golden Knights getting 20 games suspended for drugs or performance enhancing drugs. And normally, if I would see this, I would say suspended. It's awful. I hate it. But he came out with something, a long article or a big statement, and I really appreciate what he said. He basically completely denied it. And people close to him said that the substance that was inside of his body was the size of a pinch of salt in an Olympic swimming pool and would have no effect in actually enhancing any of his performance. It was basically just getting 20 games. And he has said he's not going to have any further comment at the moment, but I assume he'll appeal it if he's possible. And I think it's kind of ridiculous. This, it reminds me of Nicholas Backstrom in the 2014 Winter Olympics when he couldn't play in the gold medal game for a similar reason. A trainer, someone on his team, gave him something, and then he wasn't able to play. He didn't even get the silver medal that they lost the gold medal game to Canada. But in 2014, Nick Backstrom didn't even get the silver medal. He got it, I think, maybe a year later. They realized what they did was wrong. And then they gave him the silver medal, which that's a whole other story.
Well, yeah, I mean, You listen to the statement that he made, and you listen to the testimonials from his friends and family, and I mean, it's tough to not hear it and feel for him. But what do you think the NHL is supposed to do? I mean, they have a policy in place to prevent this type of stuff, and he failed the drug test, and I think anybody that fails a drug test is going to come up with the same story that he did. So I don't know, it's a tough one. It's a tough one for me. I think it's crazy that they were so quick to jump on him and give him a 20 game suspension right off the bat. I mean, they didn't even waste like a week on it. But Austin Watson in June, he like beat his wife, and they still haven't come out with anything against him. They've just ignored it. And he's even admitted to it in court, and they still haven't even suspended him, let alone had any repercussions in Nashville.
Yeah, and that goes into thinking about Slava Voynov, who might come back to the NHL this year, and just him and him beating his wife, and he's been in jail for that, and his wife's basically just said, no, I don't want to like get him in trouble, yada yada. He goes on, wins in the KHL, wins an Olympic gold medal for the Olympic athletes of Russia, whatever you want to call it. And I don't know, yeah, you're right, it's hard to when they can give slack and when they can't in these situations. And I guess
it's weird where their priorities are at, that I guess they're focusing so hard cracking down on people that are potentially using drugs, but they're kind of accepted the fact in some ways, and they think that it's okay that people that get concussions can get violent, it's okay that they beat their wives. I think it's ironic though that Austin Watson, just last season, he had this whole campaign in Nashville with PK Subban and a bunch of other people on the Predators that raised like $500,000 for domestic violence awareness. And I mean, the season ended, and in June he was already found that he would beat his wife. But yeah, it's not something new, I guess. I guess it happens pretty frequently.
Yeah, I think now just because of the internet, more of these cases comes to light, and it's unfortunate. But or I guess it's good they come to light so we can help prevent them. But basically, if I had to pick a stance, I'd say NHL. It's better for the NHL to crack down on these cases every time they happen, and it's better than just cut slack and be like, oh, well, maybe he didn't mean it. So. Regarding Nate Schmidt just coming up, I guess it's a good thing that maybe they suspended him right away, but I just have a feeling with him, it just doesn't sound like he was actually trying to do anything wrong, but who knows? The NHL knows more than I do. So
maybe,
yeah,
maybe they do. It's interesting how they swept in like this and they gave it to him right away so that they had a little bit of cool down time before the season starts, because no doubt when Vegas hits the ice and Nate Schmidt's not out there, it's going to be bad news, and they're going to get a lot of blowback, but maybe a little bit less since they have had a little bit of time for people to cool down, opposed to them, I mean, giving him a suspension after game one or something like that, or just before game one.
Yeah, that's true, and doesn't create drama right at the beginning of the season, and court of the season, that's a long time to be out, so that's a good point.
Yeah.
Moving on. Unfortunately, I wish they were in Japan so I could see them, but the Bruins are playing the Calgary Flames in China for two preseason games. And I just wanted to point out they put out their rosters and some big names aren't going. Bergeron's not going because he wants to be healthy for game one. Char's not going because they just want to keep him fresh. He's 41 years old. He has nothing to prove for himself, so he's not trying to earn his spot on the roster, obviously. So they let him not go, and then Heinen and Crowley, I believe, they went to China this summer for camps, so they're being excused from the trip. But overall, I'm kind of excited to see how they like him. I'm excited to see Marchand and Pasternak over there and Rask. So. And plus, they played Flames, which has Caleb's favorite player, Michael Frolik, on the team. So the Flames haven't announced who's going for them yet, but I hope he goes. Caleb, you want to talk more about Frolik?
Yeah, well, I'd love him to go to that game, but he's a veteran on that team. He's put in his time, and I don't think he's going to waste his time, and I don't think the Flames want him to potentially jeopardize his health over such a silly game. I mean, those preseason games, they're the same as they are in like youth hockey. I mean, it's just like you get the grimiest of players to throw themselves into the game and work their ass off to try to get onto the team, and everyone else that has had a spot on the team and has proved themselves already, don't waste their time. So it's always an interesting game. I think it's funny that how to step it up even more, they often play them in like different countries and try to get a 2-for-1, a little bit of publicity for international hockey while still getting out those preseason games.
Yeah, I think what you said is pretty accurate, but I definitely don't think they're as grimy as maybe our preseason games or something like that in high school. Like, all these guys, even Chara, they are going to play some preseason games. Bergeron says he wants to get a couple under his belt. It's just a long trip to get over there. And
yeah,
so I think that has a big part of it. Again, I mean, 14 hours over there, however long over, more than that. It's a long trek for these teams. So we'll see how it plays out.
Well, it would be cool to see the crowd that shows up in China. Where is that game going to be in China? Do you know?
I think they're doing a couple. I think one's in Beijing and one in China. But we'll see how it goes. I think they'll get good crowds. Their KHL team, you see some of their pictures in the stands, and it's just they have an amazing rink, and the stands are just – there's no one in them. It's almost depressing how nice their facilities are and how awful the turnout is for those games. So, but I think even the Chinese know how much better the NHL is. So we'll see if they – I'm sure they'll bring out crowds, and they're only two games.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe they'll give Frolik a little endorsement bonus if he shows up, because I'm sure he could bring out the crowds for sure.
Of course, Michael Frolik, if you don't know, is from Kladno, Czech Republic, and he won the Stanley Cup with the Chicago Blackhawks. He's played for the Jets. He's now in the Flames. He had 10 goals and 15 assists last year in 70 games played. How do you think he's going to do this year, Caleb?
You know what? I think he's going to have a breakthrough year because as far as I know...
How old is he?
He's 30, I believe. But I think this year is going to be his breakthrough year. His contract, I think, is up this season, as far as I know. So I think he's going to try to look alive and try to put on a good show for the Flames. He's been grinding with them. He's been doing all right. He's been pretty key in a couple games. He's gotten a couple game winners. But I don't know. It's not like the days on the Panthers back in 2009 or so. I mean, he was really putting up the points back then. But we'll see if he can get into his second stride, Yager.
2009, his first season in the NHL, was his best season. He has yet to put up – he had 45 points that season. He's yet to put up 45 points in a season since. His contract with Calgary Flames is actually going for two more years. He's 30 years old. I think he's going to have a better year than he did last year. He's going to be put in a lot of situations. He's a good player. 2 years ago, he had 44 points, so almost hit that 45. If I had to guess, I'd say he's mid to high 30 points, and I think he'll be a key player, a good leader in the locker room for the Flames this year.
Yeah, definitely a little bit of old blood on the Flames. I've not been catching up with the Flames as much as I probably should have, but man, he's definitely a leader for that team, and he's representing Czech pretty well. I'm excited for him to go national once again. He's been on a kind of a break from the national scene.
You think he'll get picked for the national team? I mean,
he has to.
Well, I hope he does too. He played for the World Cup in 17. He played in the Olympics in 14.
That's been it.
Yeah, recently he hasn't played much, so we'll see. Obviously, wishing the best. Obviously, we should say our favorite teams are. I'm a Boston Bruins fan. You're a Florida Panthers fan. You kind of, when you first started getting into hockey, you kind of were able to pick any team you wanted, and you wanted to pick the team that was kind of a joke.
Oh, and pick the team that Frolik was on.
Yeah, that's why.
And he left abruptly after that. which was maybe a bad sign. But and you know what? The Panthers have gotten pretty rough after he left. They had a good run in playoffs. I think that was 2012, I want to say, or maybe it was even 2014. But since then, they've not been able to get it done. And they had a close one that that season. They got up with the Devils. They had a great series against the Devils, and but they lost it in Game 7 in like triple overtime. And that year was the year the Devils went on to get to the Stanley Cup final. So
yeah,
it could have been the Panthers that season, but they couldn't get it done, and they haven't been able to get it done since. And of course, the year after that was Gallant's last year, because after that year they gave him the axe, and since then they've just really taken a turn for the worse. And of course, Gallant's been laughing at the Panthers after bringing home a Stanley Cup with a brand new team.
Almost.
Not Stanley Cup, because Stanley Cup final, excuse me.
You got getting Stanley Cup, still a huge accomplishment.
Misspoke. Huge accomplishment.
Yeah, I just going on this topic, just who we think is going to be good this year. Everyone's looking at the Bruins. I obviously am going to look at the Bruins. I think they have so many good players. Bruins were not able to get some of their key players, Kovalchuk and Tavares, that they wanted. But they have such a good roster of core rookies, and they always talk with a sophomore slump. I don't think these guys are going to have it. I think they're going to keep pushing each other. I think their veterans are good. I think they're good. I think they're going to go in with confidence. I think they're going to make a really good push. Toronto, they have a good team. We'll see how they go. I mean, they have Tavares, Marner, Matthews, all these guys. So they have. Now is Toronto's time to win in the next 7 years. If they can't win in the next decade, pathetic on them. And their fan base will just – they have the best coach. They have the only coach in the world who's won Olympic gold, world championship gold, and Stanley Cups. They have all the players to do it. They have everything. So they need to get it done. I obviously don't want it to happen because I want the Bruins to win every year, but they have what it takes to win. Tampa, another division rival for the Bruins there. Obviously they have all those good players. They've been so deadly recently. I mean, looking at the Caps, they're always good. I think they'll do a pretty good job at defending the cup, but I don't think they will. I think what really pushed them to win it this year, honestly, was the fact that Alex Ovechkin loves to play for his country so much. And the fact that his country won the Olympics this year, there was that weird thing where it wasn't technically them, but it was. The fact that they won it, I think, is what pushed him over the edge and got them over the hump. I don't know, Caleb, who do you think is going to be good on the West Coast?
I don't think the Panthers can get it done this year. I mean, Luongo's trying pretty hard to bring something home to Florida, but I do think Tampa Bay might be able to get it done. They had an awesome season last year. They couldn't make it quite happen, but they set a couple franchise records. They set franchise wins and points, I believe, last year. And they have a pretty stacked team. I think that they could bring it to Florida, whether it's even though it's not Sunrise, bring it up a little further north.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing them win. When they won it in 2004, I actually met Martin St. Louis at UVM the next year. So that's I actually started to like Tampa just a little bit then. I became a huge Martin St. Louis fan after I met him. I was like 6 years old. I think
he's a classic.
The teams that I say have a huge chance of winning next year, I'd say the Atlantic division is gonna be the toughest, with Toronto, Bruins, and Tampa. I think they're just stacked, and I think that's gonna be a really hard division for anyone to make it in.
Well, what about the Jets with Patrick Laine? Do you think they can get it done? They had a pretty good season last year. kind of hoped and wished that Frolik had stayed with them.
I think one of the most important things with hockey is the locker room. And I think they have a great locker room in Winnipeg. I think people want to play there. I think people are selfless there. They have a great captain, Blake Wheeler, another great leader who's going to be the captain after, and Mark Scheifele, Line A, good goaltending, and Connor Hellebuyck.
And they have Buff, too.
They have Buff. They just have great lines all throughout. And I think they're going to make another push. They're a team that is one of the teams that they have a team that can win now. And it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I guess moving on to our next segment. The next segment, basically, we're done with the NHL. We want to kind of, this is where we bring it kind of internationally from here on out. And one thing we want to do every month is really highlight a country that most people, especially in our audience base, I'm guessing most of our audience will be in America. We'll see. We'd like it to be everywhere, but we'll see. Where we kind of, we talk about a new country every month and the fact that they have hockey there and the kind of their status of hockey there. And for the first month, we want to talk about that. They play hockey in Ireland. Ireland is a country. They've been a member of the IIHF since 1996. Right now, they only have 284 registered players, which is not
that is
many
nothing.
At all. It is nothing, and they have zero rinks, 5 million population. I think Ireland's a really interesting one. They're a lot like Greece in the fact that they were playing in the World Championships, doing well. They even won. They even got promoted at one point, playing super well. But the IIHF in the last decade made it so that if you don't have a rink in your country, you're not allowed to participate in the World Championships, which has been awful for development of some of these countries like Greece and Ireland, just because they can't keep players playing in these national team programs and having the younger kids to strive to get to that level. And Ireland is an interesting case because they're in Dublin. Ireland is the biggest city in all of Europe to not have an ice hockey rink, which I think is a pretty interesting fact that Dublin doesn't have a full-time ice rink. They had, I think it was called Dundalk, I'm going to pronounce it wrong, Dundalk Ice Bowl or something like that, but it closed down. And since then, Ireland's been trying to raise funds more and more for someone to make a rink, and unfortunately they just haven't been able to get it done. And I just, basically, since they haven't been able to get that ice rink up and going, they're number of players has gone down quite a bit. I think Ireland, they have in recent years, they still have players commute to Northern Ireland, which is the tip of their island, but not technically Ireland. It's part of the Great Britain system. They have the Belfast Giants there. Players have to commute there to play on the ice. And I think that shows their dedication. I think that shows that players want to play. And you have some players obviously playing the lower levels of Great Britain and Europe. One player, Sean Coleman, played in our home state at a community college in Auburn last year, which I thought was pretty interesting. He played for the national team. And I don't know, Caleb, what do you think of Ireland?
Yeah, I mean, that's a crazy story, but shows you the type of small hot world hockey is. But as for Ireland, I think it's crazy that that they don't have a rink. When did they have a rink?
Not too long ago, the Dundalk Ice Bowl was a thing.
It just closed down?
It just closed down, unfortunately.
That is interesting.
It was called the Dundalk Ice Bowl, and it closed in May 2010.
Because, I mean, they're not that bad. I mean, I think there's other teams out there that that are smaller, like you said. Other countries, I should say, that are out there. They're smaller, like you said, and not as good, and do have a national team. So I think it's interesting that they didn't put one there, and they're so close to the kind of heat of Europe's hockey. So I think it's strange that they don't have one. I mean, not too long ago. I mean, they weren't placing last in the IIHF World Championships.
No, they were doing really well. And if I had to guess, I'd say they'd be in Division 2B competing in there. If they had ice rinks, I think their players would develop undoubtedly.
Well, and you know what?
They play a lot of roller hockey. They have teams, ice hockey teams, that are called like the Dublin Ducks and stuff like that. But they don't play in Dublin. They play up in Northern Ireland. Like, they have players that want to play. They just don't have anywhere to go. And Ireland needs a rink. And if they do, I think they'll do really well.
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now, and it's looking like they dropped out of Division Two Group B into Division Three.
But just in the last to Division Two.
Well, they dropped out of it the past 2 years.
You mean? Oh, the past 2 years they were in. Yeah, but that happens with bubble teams. Like, you saw Luxembourg this past year. Another team I want to talk about sometime. Luxembourg, they've been grinding in D3, getting like bronze medals for years. And then they got gold, but then they got up to D2B and were instantly demoted. That's usually how the bubble teams work.
Yeah.
But those are still strong teams we're talking about. Even if you can make it to D2B in the first place, that shows a lot of promise.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're counting on you, Ireland, and we're praying for you every night to get that hockey rink.
We absolutely are. And of course, I want to point out this past year they're making another push. They made a U18 team. They sent them to Switzerland in June. They have a men's team that they're making going to Germany later this year. Last year they had a tournament with three other countries that they ended up getting silver. So second out of four teams for countries that played hockey but didn't have an ice rink. So we'll keep an eye on them, and I've been watching them for years, and I just really hope that they get something going there.
Yeah.
And I guess now let's talk about another segment we just want to kind of do, is talk about the recent transfers and just what's going on, what transfers are catching our eye, what trades are catching our eye in the game of hockey across the world. So started off just Tavares. I'm super bittersweet about this. I really wanted him to go to the Boston Bruins, but he signed with the Toronto Maple Leafs. The only reason I'm okay with this is just because it is his hometown team, and I
love
for a guy going to his hometown team.
Yeah, I think he's doing it for to check it off his bucket list, but Toronto's going nowhere. I think that they're cursed too badly to make something of their team. I think he's gonna have a tough fight to even make it to the conference finals.
I think it will be too. They have a young team, but I mean, last year the Bruins beat them in seven games in the first round. I don't know. They're gonna be a good team. Tavares is definitely gonna help. We'll see where they go. Yeah, I'm bittersweet they didn't go to Bruins, but if he had to go somewhere, I guess I'm glad it's his hometown, because I think that's a cool story. Next, Neil Yakupov, probably the worst first overall draft pick in our lifetime. We're both 20. He went to SKA St. Petersburg in Russia, playing with Pavel Datsyuk, the team that Kovalchuk played for. He had a goal in his first game there. I like Yakupov just because I think he really loves hockey. I think he wanted to stay in the NHL. You could tell he liked the game. I think that he was rushed in. I think the Edmonton Oilers, when they drafted him first overall, I think they should have kept him in juniors for a year or two, put him in the minors. But they were said, nope, we're going to take him. We suck. Put him in our first team. And he was just not, as an 18-year-old, he was just not ready for the NHL, which not many players are. So.
I think he got screwed out of his NHL career. How old is he
now? 28 maybe. I'll check.
Yeah, so I mean, not everybody's a Michael Frolik and can keep the game rolling for well into their 30s, but I think he's toast. But the The blessing, though, is that he's going to a team that was already stacked. So him playing for that team with Datsyuk and the rest of the great Russian players on that team, I mean, they just like are going to steamroll.
Yeah, he's actually only 24, so he only played in the NHL 6 years, which is kind of crazy to me. He put up fair points with the Oilers, and then, I mean, for not a first overall caliber player, but then with the Blues, he barely got played. Avalanche last year at the beginning of the season did super well, but then he kind of cut off, was getting scratched, and I think he wanted to stay there, but I think he'll do well in Russia, and I think that he'll get a lot better in Russia playing with good players, and I bet you in the next 5 years, 6 years, he comes back to NHL, maybe a little bit like Yager did when he went to Russia. Obviously, I think Yager would have passed 2,000 points in the NHL if he'd never gone to Russia, but I think he'll do something kind of like Yager and find his game over in Russia and then come back.
Yeah, that would be great to see, but it goes to show you how difficult it is to stay in the NHL and get into the NHL, because someone like Yakupov, a first overall draft pick, you think you kind of have like a gilded throne into the NHL, but I mean, mm-hmm. you still have to work your ass off, and everything needs to be just right.
Yeah, absolutely. Next up, Chris Lee. I really like this player for many reasons. He went to Norwich University in Vermont, and which is D3. He lit it up there. Just crazy numbers as a defenseman. And he just retired from Metallurg Magnitogorsk. I probably didn't pronounce that right, but I think that's how you pronounce it. This guy, just awesome story. After D3, he worked his way up through AA hockey in the ECHL. He played really well in the AHL. After that, he went over to Europe, finally settled in the KHL with his team, won a couple Gagarin Cups in the KHL. And then last year, he capped it off. He won a bronze medal with Canada at the Olympics. The year before that, he won a silver medal at the World Championships as the only player not on the NHL on that roster after one of their players got hurt. And he has number retired, number 4 as well, which is just crazy.
Oh, so there you go. Over,
got his number retired, finishes with a bronze medal from his country. He actually had a tryout last year for the LA Kings, but he didn't make it. It would have been cool to see him play for the NHL, but I'm sure he's not too sad that he had to go out with a Olympic medal.
Yeah, I mean... It's interesting that he's playing in Russia. I think that league is really competitive, KHL, but I don't know. I think that would be a difficult sell to be a Canadian hockey player and have to be all the way in Russia. Not that he's in the minority.
Yeah, I think there's 50 players from Canada in the KHL this year.
Right.
So he's not in the minority there, but...
Still a tough one. It's interesting. People are so driven to play competitive hockey that they'll go anywhere, just like you, Chase.
Yeah, a little bit like me. Next, Devontae Smith-Pelly. This is what me and you kind of debated about. He stayed with the Caps, but he took a pay cut. He's only there for 1 year, making $1 million. He put up big goals and big games and even the Stanley Cup final for them. I say awesome. I say you stay with the team that you love to play for. I'd want to play for the same team my whole career if I ever made it to a level like that, which I never will. What do you think, Caleb? You kind of disagree with that.
Yeah, I mean, he'd only played for the Capitals for 1 year. It wasn't like he was some guy who had been grinding with the Capitals and then had finally won a cup. It was his first year with the Capitals, wasn't it?
I don't think so, was it?
Yeah, I think it was. No. All right, well, let's real-time fact check
it. You're right, it was.
There you go, his first year. So, I don't know. Maybe it's a testament to his... his confidence with the team. Maybe he thinks that they can do great things, and that's why he's sticking with them. He doesn't care about the money, but I don't know. If I was him and I was relatively young, I mean, he's like 25, I think. I'd just see where I'd follow the money and see who wants me and play for teams that are willing to put up the cash and value me enough to put it up. I mean, I can understand
that argument.
Yeah, he made a big difference with the Caps, and so I think that would be tough. I mean, whatever you can say that other players might deserve a raise, and he in return he needs to take the cut. But any way you want to shake it, I think that he didn't deserve a cut, and I think you should just follow the money.
Yeah, the fact that he only played there 1 year, maybe I would see that he might want to go to a team that really wants him. Because if a team wants you, I'd want to play for them. But at the same time, I mean, if you like the locker room, you did win a Stanley Cup, that kind of builds a bond forever. And maybe he wants to build a legacy and with the Capitals and kind of finish his career there. But we'll see. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he's making penny change. But I just, as I said. And you mentioned it's I just follow where people want you and go to places where the team wants you and will give you the raise.
That's fair. Next player up, Brady Tkachuk. He's going to the Ottawa Senators. He signed with them. I was very sad about this. Just I'm a Boston University fan. They're my favorite university team. I was very distraught kind of when he signed with the Senators because I really wanted them to have just a crazy good year there. I thought they would have a great year. I think BU still will have a great year, but him going to the Senators, I think he's definitely ready for the NHL. He has the size. He has the skill. I think it'll be interesting. And him and his brother are both playing in Canadian markets as Americans. Fourth overall in the draft. I'm looking forward to seeing him. Do you have anything to say about that, Caleb?
Yeah, I mean, he's a big boy, as you said. So I think he'll be okay. But yeah, I would rather be on the Bruins than the Sens. But that's the way the draft went, and it'll be exciting to see what he can make happen. I mean, he has the lucky number fourth overall draft to back him up. Mm-hmm. So at least he has luck on his side, I suppose.
That is a good point.
Yeah.
Next, Jeff Skinner, Tage Thompson, both going to the Sabres. I just wanted to put this on. Jeff Skinner, really good player for the Carolina Hurricanes. Tage Thompson, a great prospect, played at UConn. I think he's going to be good in a couple years, maybe even this year if he gets a good role. The Sabres, I just think at this point, have no reason with the addition of Rasmus Dahlin, the first overall pick this year, who's going to be an incredible player in the league. They have no excuse to not be good. I think the Sabres, if not make the playoffs this year, I think they fight for a spot. They just have too many good players to play good up at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely agree, but they're not the first team to kind of defy the laws of hockey physics. They have a great team. I mean, they got Eichel. I don't know if that was 2 or 3 years ago that they got him, but I mean, he's gotten injuries for whatever reason. He hasn't really been able to put up anything for them, so who knows? I mean, I think on paper they have to do well, but I gotta say, there's a lot. The Sabres are not the only team to defy what should be definitely a great season.
Yeah, and I mean, we say Jack Eichel's not living up to his performance first year in the NHL, 56 points. Next year, 20 games left, one more point. This past season, 67 games, 64 points. It's not like he's not putting up points. He obviously should be putting up more. He's obviously competed with Connor McDavid, who went over first overall last year. He wants to prove he's better than McDavid, which I mean, kind of impossible almost. This is fourth year of the team. I think he's going to make a statement here now that because he was brought into the Sabres to be the guy that was going to change the program around. 3 years later, they haven't made the playoffs yet. The fact that someone that is coming first overall and now Dahlin's the guy that everyone's like, well, now he's the guy. Jack Eichel's just, he's a piece of the puzzle. Now it's Dahlin. I think Eichel's going to want to make a point this season that he's the one for this team. I think he wants to be captain of that team. I think he's been a leader in the locker room. I think he takes accountability for himself, and I think he's going to have a breakout year. I think he puts up 80 points at least this year. I think he's going to have a great year.
Well, yeah, let's hope so, because I think it's kind of fight or flight for Jack Eichel. I think, yeah, with the new blood coming in, he doesn't want to become irrelevant just yet. I mean, he's a great player, and he has been putting up the points, but they've just not been – he's been giving them the medicine, but they've not been getting better, if you want to put it that way.
He did just – and he has signed with them through 2026, making $10 million a year. I mean, he's making bank there, so I don't think he's irrelevant there. I think he just wants to be the guy there. Like, no matter what he tells the team, but I think he wants to just be the guy for the team, like Connor McDavid is for the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, and he should be. He should be, for sure.
You're right.
He's a great player.
And I think Rasmus Dahlin's only going to motivate him more because people are going to be watching Dahlin. I think he's going to want people to be watching him this year. So I'm excited to see how that plays out. Next up, Kovalchuk signed by the Kings. I was really sad. I wanted the Bruins to sign him. I don't know. I'm surprised at this. I'm glad Kovalchuk's coming back to the NHL. He said he really wants to win a Stanley Cup. I don't know. I don't think the Kings are a team that have a good enough. I don't know. I think the Kings, they're dangerous, but they have Brown, they have Kopitar, they have Quick, those guys. But I don't know. What do you think, Caleb? Do you think they have what it takes to actually compete for a cup in the time?
I don't know. I mean, it's all old blood on that team. Yep. And, I mean, I think all three of those players you just listed were the same. Were on the team when they won the cup, so both of their cups, yeah. And it's been a while since that's happened, but I don't know. They definitely have talent, but they don't have that spark that some of these other teams that have that young blood do. So I don't know. We'll see. And I mean, of course, Kovalchuk is not young blood either, really talented player, but
he's only 35, 6'3". I mean,
right? No, he's a great player, and he's still in his prime, maybe. But he's not some young, fresh off the press player that's going to give him a little bit of spark that some other teams are maybe leaning into.
Yeah, I mean, he's had such an incredible career at this point. He's won world under 18, world gold. World championship golds, Olympic gold, two Gagarin cups. He's just won it all. So I'm excited to see him. I like him. He loves to play hockey, and I'm excited to see how he does with the Kings. Obviously, butthurt he didn't go to the Bruins. Next, Kenny Agostino from the Bruins to the Habs.
Sellout.
But at the same time, he didn't get a chance really with the Bruins. He played a little bit with them last year. The Bruins just had so many players that they want to put in their system. He's 26 years old. He played 5 games for the Bruins last year. He's one of those guys that is so dominant at the AHL, but just can't seem to crack an NHL roster. 2 years ago for the Chicago Wolves in the AHL, he had 83 points.
Yeah, well,
53 points last year. He's one of those bubble players. He reminds me a lot of the guy playing on the blanking on his name. Played for the Hershey Bears in the AHL last year. Played on the Olympic national team for the men.
It's gonna come to you.
It's gonna come to me. Definitely going to cut the long, awkward silence out of the podcast.
Well, anyway, while we wait for that to come to you, Chase, I think Kenny's one of those guys that's kind of like a little bit of dynamite. I think he's one of those players that is ready to kind of click and start putting up points, but is definitely undervalued right now. So he's definitely – could be. I mean, maybe not, but he could be a lot of bang for your buck.
Yeah, low risk, high reward situation. The guy I was thinking about was Chris Bork. He's just put up such incredible numbers in the AHL, but never was able to break out in the NHL. I just think that was an interesting story from him going to Bruins to Habs. I still look at them as huge rivals, think of them as huge rivals. Next, Wade Megan, Blues to Wings. I just put that on because he's the last captain under Jack Parker at Boston University. He scored his first goal in the NHL last year. I really hope he does well with the Wings. I think he'll get a better shot with the Wings than he did with the Blues. Next, another player I want to go to the Boston Bruins, Paul Stastny. He goes to the Vegas Golden
Knights. Oh, yeah, you love Paul Stastny.
He's one of my favorite players in the world. What do you think of him going to the Vegas Golden Knights?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Knights, they also, we didn't really talk about them, but they really have a team. And, I mean, you could say the Lightning doesn't strike twice, but I think that they could get it done this season if they don't. If they don't get held up by Nate Schmidt's suspension in the open of the season, if they can kind of keep their boat level through those 20 games, mm-hmm. and they can get them back, I think they have serious potential.
Yeah, the Vegas Golden Knights, I think that those players, most of the players on that team were players that their teams thought were useless at that point. And so I think they just came into the locker room, gelled. There was no huge superstars, no egos in the room. And I think that they just had such a great year because of their chemistry in the locker room. I think they were a good group.
Yeah, I think almost everyone had a chip on their shoulder, though, to kind of prove that mm-hmm. they weren't quite done yet.
Absolutely. So I'm excited to see how they do. I think Paul Stastny will be a huge player for them. Next, the last thing we'll talk about, Brandon Hickey had his rights traded to the Sabres as well. So now the Buffalo Sabres have Jack Eichel, Brandon Hickey, Evan Rodriguez, Danny Erigan, all from Boston University. So Buffalo
Sabres. Wow, it's a little lum party.
Hotspot. It's kind of ridiculous how many players they have from Boston University.
Yeah, it's interesting. They just churn them out. They're just farming from BU. I mean, great team BU has, but that's interesting.
It is, and let's see if the Boston University guys can get it done one day.
Yeah.
Next, we want to do a segment basically on across the world. We kind of want to talk about all the leagues in the world and just kind of give you their standings. That's what we want to do. Obviously, most of the seasons haven't started yet. So we want to talk about like the Dell in Germany and Britain and the Swedish Elite League and all those leagues and kind of bring you those standings throughout the months. But obviously September, not many of those leagues have started other than the KHL. And instead of that, we thought we'd just talk about the Champions Hockey League, the league all across Europe. And we'll go through kind of just what we think of the different groups, how they are first two games played for each of them and, who we hope to see it win. So personally, since the league's formation, I've always been, and my favorite team in Europe, I guess, always has kind of been Ice Baron Berlin. I guess I'm just going to say a funny story. When they first made it, there was a contest for the in the Champions Hockey League where you could pick your jersey, your favorite team's jersey, in a sweepstakes. And in this Champions Hockey League, on the top scorer, they wear on the back of their jersey, it says top scorer. And you could enter a contest to have your name on that jersey of your favorite player's team. And I picked Ice Baron Berlin. I actually had my name on their jersey their first season, which I think is pretty cool. In addition to that, that same season, I signed up for that sweepstakes before this happened. Shuhei Kuji, an alumni of the school I'm at right now, actually played for Ice Baron Berlin that year. He now plays back in Japan. So that was kind of crazy that he went to this team that I'd always liked and he went to my school. So that's
pretty cool. Yeah, man, small hockey world again.
It is a very small world.
It's interesting.
Well, so let's just go through the groups of the champ. Or Caleb, let's talk about your favorite teams in Europe.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of good picks. I'm not really into Germany. They've put up the numbers, and they're a force to be reckoned with. But I'm not into the Germany train. And as you said, Ice Baron Berlin's great team, but I think Sweden's going to dominate pretty well in this tournament, and I'm hoping Czech Republic can also put up the numbers.
Yeah, last year the final, I believe it was it Sparta Prague? I think it was Sparta Prague versus JYP, or it was Sparta Prague in the semis, and there's Frölunda versus JYP in the final. But I would love to see Sparta Prague make it further in the tournament. I don't know if they're even in it this year, but we'll see when we go down the list. But Sweden normally has dominated the first 2 years. Swedish Frölunda Indians, Lundqvist's hometown team, Joel Lundqvist also is the captain there, won it. And then last year, Finland took it over. They're usually the dominant team. So we'll see if it wins it. Just going over the standings last and talk about some of the teams, just all the teams kind of quick. Group A, Champions Hockey League, we have the ZSC Lions from Switzerland, who are 2-0. Frölunda FC, 1, and then they actually have a blemish on the record as well. So they're in second place. And then we have the Aalborg Pirates from Denmark and the Vienna Capitals from Austria. So personally, if I had to pick, let's from each of these groups, Caleb, let's pick which team we would want to see win. If I had to pick my pick, I'd definitely say the Vienna Capitals. Another fun story, I guess. I'm just gonna say off the top of my head. Last year, I had one of my old hockey coaches from Stride MV Hockey, which was a clinic I did in Maine. He actually played for the Vienna Capitals, so kind of fun story. But I've always kind of liked Austria. I thought they were a cool country. I'd love to see them win. Obviously, they're the last of the group, so it's not looking like they're going to win. But who would you like to see win from that group?
I don't know. I think it's so early to tell. Who knows what's going to happen? That being said, though, I think it would be pretty big uproar if Vienna Capitals made it to that number one spot in Group A. But I don't know. We'll see. I love Sweden. They're definitely not an underdog, but
Frölunda, no way. I mean, they've won the first two. They're expected to win.
Yeah, but I'd love to see them get it done once again. Yeah, I think Sweden needs to represent. Represent the W's when they can, because they've not always been able to get it done lately in these other international tournaments.
I mean, unfortunately, they were against the United States in the last IHF World Championships when they knocked out the U.S. with Patrick Kane. I was really hoping they'd win the gold. I'm still waiting for that.
Yeah, that was a tough one to swallow. I forgot about that one. I must have erased it.
That was a tough one. So Sweden has won the World Championships the past 2 years. We'll see. U.S. is going to win this year. Moving on, Group B, Malmo Redhawks in first, EHC Munchen Red Bull in second, the team for Belarus, Minsk, and then TPS. Kind of almost crazy that Minsk is doing better than the Finnish TPS. If I had to pick, I'd say it'd be around what it is. EHC Munchen, they're a dominant team. They always have been, winning in Germany for years. Sweden, obviously, they're doing well. So it'll be exciting to see them clash each other.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when Red Bull bought that team, didn't they? Back, I don't know, like 6 years ago or so?
I'm not sure. I'll check.
But, you know, it's interesting. Red Bull always seems to buy teams that don't mess around.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I guess I don't really have any opinion in this group. I'm not a big fan of any of those teams. Minsk was the team. They won the, Continental Cup last year, which got them into this tournament. So they, even though they are an underdog, they proved they can win international competitions. Moving on, Group C, HC Bolzano and playing the Austrian League from Italy, in the top spot. Crazy. I've always been a fan of them. I really hope they win their group. After that, Skelfida, I don't know how to pronounce it, AIK. They've always been a powerhouse in Sweden, HIFK from Finland, and then GKS, don't know how to pronounce it, Skici from Poland. If I had to pick two teams out of that I'd want to move on, I'd say Bolzano and the Polish side. Polish team is not doing very well, though.
Yeah, but Poland, you know, we have an old teammate from our high school team whose mother immigrated from Poland, so we're always looking out for Poland. They haven't been great on the hockey front for the past couple decades, as far as I know. But you know what? Who knows what can happen?
Who knows what can happen? Indeed. Group D for the Champions Hockey League, we have Swiss team EV Zug, another team from Belarus, Kometo Brno from Czech Republic, and then unfortunately Ice Baron Berlin in fourth place in Group D. I've already said I'd want Ice Baron Berlin to win. They've had some upsets against them. We'll see how they end up doing. What team would you like to see move on, Caleb?
You know what? I think just for you, I'd like to see Ice Baron Berlin. You know, I'm always looking out for the Czech Republic teams, as I'm sure you know.
Well, you won't be happy then, because in Group E, the Czech Republic is fourth place, third place, the Norway team from Norway, Storhammer, number two, Tapara, number one, I don't know how to pronounce it, Desjardins, IHIF. I'd like to see the Norway team win, or the Czech team move on, just see some of those little countries move on. I always like seeing the little countries move on. What about you, Caleb?
Yeah, I agree. You know what? It's interesting because sometimes you can see a pretty small team move on and put on the heat. I mean, who can forget Germany and Russia's game? I guess that was this past year. That was quite the thriller.
That was in
February.
I was jumping up and down. I was tired, but I was jumping up and down when they scored that go-ahead goal in the third period. And then they went on to tie it and win it in overtime. That was a brutal game to watch.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking. But, you never know what happens. You never know what happens.
Nonetheless, those German players were ecstatic to win that silver medal. That was awesome. Next, Group F, number one, Karpat, number two, another Czech team, number three, Ice Tigers, number four, Ruin from France. Again, another group I'm not hugely invested in. I've never really followed these teams. Does anything stick out to you with these four teams, Caleb?
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, France, I've never heard of France getting anywhere near medals in any type of international tournaments.
They play in the top division.
Right, but they tend to not really get it done in the top division as far as I know.
Well, I mean, it's hard.
They're just on the cutoff, you know what I mean? So yeah. It's tough. It's a tough one.
Yeah, we'll see. I think they're the Dragons, the team that's representing them, the Ruined Dragons. I'd like to see them move on, but it's not looking good for them. Last two groups, Group G, SC Bern from Switzerland, Vaho Lakers from Sweden. I always get Switzerland and Sweden mixed up, or whenever they're next to each other. And then EC Salzburg from Vienna, or not Vienna, Austria. Cardiff Devils from Wales. I definitely want to see the Cardiff Devils move on.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. That would
last
be great.
Year, of course, the Nottingham Panthers did incredible in the Champions Hockey League, which was so much fun to watch because typically British hockey has been lacking compared to the other countries, but they put up such a fight. Cardiff Devils not looking like they're going to do the same this year, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's interesting that the Panthers expansion team in England could get it done. And put up a fight.
Now finishing this off, getting kind of long. Group H, Czech team, HC Plzeň with 2 wins. JYP, the team that won last year, in second. A team from Slovakia in third. And HC Lugano, Bergeron's lockout team, in fourth.
Oh, right.
Nothing big there. I guess I'd pick Slovakia or the team that Bergeron played on to make it through, but we'll see.
Feels like a lifetime ago, that lockout.
I know. Well, 5 years ago, it's about that. It does feel like a while ago. So, do you have anything to say on that last group, Caleb?
No. You know what? I got nothing, Chase.
Yeah, so that's basically the CHL. I've always followed the league quite a bit. I really hope Iceberg and Berlin can move out of this group stage, but we'll see. And we'll definitely keep you updated on it next month and in the months coming and to let you know what we think about it. Now moving on, we're gonna talk. One thing we want to do every month is talk about an international topic of what's going on just across the world. And for the first month, I thought we'd talk about something. In regards to the 2022 Olympics, in which the International Ice Hockey Federation president Rene Fassel told the International Olympic Committee that there are only 4 options for the hockey in 2022. They are number one, the NHL players can return. Number two, they can do the same thing they did in 2018. Number three, they can do under 23 players. Or four, no hockey. Caleb, before I say anything, is there any one of those four that you'd like to see? Hopefully not number four.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully not number four. No hockey, but I think that's just a joke. I mean,
yeah,
there's no possibility that hockey would not be in the Olympics. You know, it's a tough one. Man, I would love. I would love, love, love for NHL players to be put into the 2020 Olympics. I mean, it's just so strange that we have such a valued tournament that doesn't have the best of the best players competing, and it's just like a joke. But I'm gonna spoil it and say that I doubt it, though. I really doubt that they're going to bring back NHL players. I don't know what type of, I mean, you'd need to have some serious talks coming from people working in the NHL, coming from fans, it just has not been enough. I don't think that they have enough incentive to allow NHL players to return.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Gary Bettman said again that it would be hard for the NHL players to return to the Olympics if it wasn't in a North American country. Just because with timing and everything, it's hard for them to promote it and make any money from it. And they lose a lot of money from it. I'd love to see the NHL players return to the Olympics. The players want to go. It's very clear they want to go. I think it's a pity that they can't go represent their countries. I think representing the country is one of the coolest things, if not the coolest thing in hockey. The 2018 model, I had a lot of fun watching the Olympics in 2018 this year. I think it was kind of cool that players didn't go in South Korea. And obviously in 2022, the Olympics are in China. They were just in South Korea, so they're even further away now.
And I think that also leads right into it. I think that maybe, I mean, obviously if it was in North America, I think that it would be I mean, I think it would be tough for him to say no, but I think even if it was somewhere closer, but China is just, I think, far enough away, and I don't know, almost culturally alien enough for him to just not have enough incentive.
Now, I've always loved the Olympics. I've always been so hard for them to go, and I've talked to my dad about this so much. Personally, I just want to get this out of the way. I think what they'll do is number two. I think they'll just use the 2018 model. But my dad has always loved the under 23 model, the under 23 model. My dad watched the Miracle on Ice in 1980, and he loved seeing these actual teams compete. Even after then, players would go from college to playing a full year or two for the USA, and they would have an actual team that was Team USA play a full season before the Olympics. And my dad really liked that because they were an actual team, not just now when the NHL players go. They pick the best players, but then they play together for a couple weeks and that's it. These players were actual teams. So my dad, he has almost no interest in the NHL players returning. He thinks it's just boring and stupid. I always get really mad at my dad for it. But he kind of explained to me about the under 23 and how it used to be and how he would like seeing these actual teams go. So I actually wouldn't mind seeing that. I wouldn't mind seeing an under 23 tournament.
You know what? Me neither. But I don't know. I think that you need incentive to change, just like changing and allowing NHL players to return. I think that there's not enough incentive to change from their 2018 model. I think that would be very cool, and you get a lot of more emotion, a lot more story to it. But we'll see.
Players would kill to go there. Yeah, I'd agree though. I think they're going to do the 2018 model.
Well, there you have it.
So yeah, that's basically what we're gonna have for today. That would be like what a normal episode is. Obviously, we do more of the standings throughout the world instead of the CHL. We had a lot more transfers that we kind of just nitpicked what we thought was cool, and there weren't too much to talk about in the NHL. But basically, that's kind of what we wanted to talk about for the first episode. If you're listening to this on podcast, definitely find the YouTube and leave your comments there so we can edit the podcast next month for however you'd like. Just look up the Hockey Anywhere show on YouTube and you should be able to find it.
We'll try to drop a link in our bio as well.
Yeah. And I guess, Caleb, is there anything else we need to say? Anything else you want to say more about yourself?
No, I think they know me well already, but it's been exciting pumping out the first show, and it's going to be interesting to see how, as the season begins, things can get a little bit more exciting, and we can give you our more eclectic thoughts as more and more seasons begin.
Yeah, I'm excited as well, Caleb, and you'll get to know me and Caleb better just as the months go on, I'm sure, and we'll try to get better podcasting, and just, this is a process for us, obviously, so give us any of your suggestions, and Caleb, thank you so much for joining me in this inaugural episode of the Hockey Everywhere show.
Oh, yeah, thank you, Chase, for having me, and have a good morning to you, and I'll have a good night.
Signing off.